Hello, Kenneth Vanderhorst here. Welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist. Each week, I chat with a guest about which songs they would have on their playlist if they were to spend a season in a remote cabin here in the Bulkley Valley. I hope you enjoy today's show on CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9. This station broadcasts from unceded Kasia territory of the Ginnamon Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Well, hello again, and welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist here at CICK Radio. I'm your host, Kenneth Vanderhorst, and this week my guest is Daniel Imhoff. Born in Switzerland, Daniel has called the Bulkley Valley his home and made his mark here since he was a youngster, though not without also leaving his mark well beyond this area after initially leaving home for university studies. His mark, or his many of them, came primarily on soccer pitches. He's a former professional soccer player, first playing in the Swiss Super League, later in Germany's top Bundesliga, while getting notice from clubs in the Scottish and English Premier Leagues. By the conclusion of his career, he had played in 345 professional matches, and, perhaps most gratifying to his Canadian fans, 37 matches for this country's national team, including 13 FIFA World Cup qualification matches. A husband to Pamela, father to three kids, Daniel is now a business owner running Dance Sports here on Main Street in downtown Smithers, while satisfying his competitive and soccer passion and giving back to the community through coaching and running an annual summer soccer clinic for youth. Welcome to Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist, Daniel.
Thank you.
Tell us, what role does music have in your life?
That's a good question. It doesn't necessarily play a prominent role. It's a lot of times just kind of background music, listening to music in the car or when I'm working at home or in the store. But it has played a role throughout my life and my career. You know, picking songs for when I'm preparing for a game.
Oh, yeah. You had those warm-up songs, I'm sure, along the way.
Yeah, songs that, you know, if I'm too excited, listen to songs that are calming me down. Or if I'm too calm, songs that can get me more excited. Yeah, so that's kind of the role that music's played in my life. And even now, I kind of underestimate the power of music, the way it can, bring up your mood or, just make you feel good about what's going on in your life. So.
Well, that's one of the things we enjoy here at Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist is just the nature of music and what it does for us, and it sets your tone. I'm going to be sending you away to an isolated cabin where you're going to spend a season just by yourself, and you're going to have very little technology. I will give you this rudimentary device that lets you have seven songs on a playlist. So if you would, tell us what your first song's going to be.
The first song I chose was Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay, Iris, Goo Goo Dolls. Why that one?
It's a song that I listened throughout my career, and it I'm not sure when it first came out. It might have been when I was still growing up.
Know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't wanna. I don't think they'd understand.
Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, that band out of Buffalo, New York. That was your first song, Dan. Let's talk a little bit about geography. I mentioned in the intro, you were born in Switzerland.
Yeah, my earliest memories from there. I think I was about four when we moved to Canada.
What brought your folks to the valley with you and your siblings?
My parents came here on their honeymoon, and my dad just fell in love with the country. His dream was always to be a bush pilot, and this was the place to do it. So we moved to Whitehorse first, and then brief stay in Alberta, and then we settled here in the Vulcan Valley when I was in grade one.
Okay, so this has pretty much been your lifelong home along the way.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you appreciate about the valley?
Everything, really. It's just home. The mountains, just the space we have here, the people, just the laid back kind of lifestyle that's here.
And you've lived in other parts of the world, so you've got a bit of a frame of reference. And you've lived in Switzerland, you lived in Germany as well. So how do those places compare? And what was it when you got back here that kind of made you feel, well, how'd you feel when you got back here?
Well, those places, I mean, they're really nice. Switzerland's an incredible country, great place to live. But I really noticed in the off season when I came back here that I could just breathe here. There's so much going on there. It's like one big city.
Population density.
Yeah, and you couldn't really get out of that. Even if you went out to one of those mountain peaks in Switzerland, there's a restaurant up there. There's always people around. It's hard to kind of just get away. And I didn't realize how intense it was until I actually came back here in the off season. And you land here and you look, and it's just like you can just breathe. And I think that's. That's the biggest difference for sure.
The valley offers us a lot of space here. Yeah. Well, and that's good. If I'm sending you to an isolated cabin, then it sounds like you got a little bit of a zest or an appetite for being on your own. Your wife, she's also from Switzerland.
Yeah, we met when I was playing there. And so one of the first things I told her when we met is that I eventually want to move back here. And she's been on board with that ever since. So.
And so she was happy to come over in this direction then as well.
Yeah, and of course her family's still there, so she does miss her home, but she's found a home here too. So
you guys get back there from time to time then to visit with her side?
Yeah, she usually goes back at least once a year, and me maybe every 2 or 3 years.
All right,
and her family's always coming to visit as well, so it's been nice.
It's been they're at a distance, but you're not disconnected.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this brings us to your second song. Tell us which one that is.
It's I Believe in Angels by George Canyon.
All right. And why that one?
I don't know. I just like the song and kind of the message in it. I think the first time I heard it, I had my kids were really young, and I just felt that it just fit.
All right. I Believe in Angels, George Canyon.
My toe on a G.I. Joe, tripping over toys this morning. My little blue-eyed girl with the yellow curls said, I love you, Daddy, without a warning. Yeah, and they both think I'm Superman, 'cause I can crush a Dr. Pepper can easy. But I can be a teddy bear when they get scared. They both need me to watch them sleep. How could anyone say that there's no heaven? There's no way, 'cause I believe in angels. With their arms like tiny wings and pretend that they are flying. And when I hear their sweet voices sing,
There's no denying when they laugh, even when they cry, I see heaven in their eyes. 'Cause I believe in angels. With every breath that I breathe, I believe in angels. 'Cause my
I Believe in Angels by George Kanyon. That's a Canadian selection. Thanks, Dan, for that one. George Kanyon, originally from Nova Scotia, later moved to Calgary, became known by finishing runner-up in the second season of Nashville Star. So that's just a wonderful selection. And Dan, you were saying as we were listening to it that it brings thoughts to your mind about when you're youngest, when she was little.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard the song was when he was actually here doing a concert at the Telco Barbecue Grounds, and I remember my oldest, she had the yellow curls, and she was, you know, really young age as well, and this song just kind of hit home.
Yeah, it's kids can draw stuff out of our hearts and our minds like just about nothing else.
Yeah, for sure.
You came back to the Valley here after your professional playing career, and that was largely a family decision.
Yeah, I kind of always knew I wanted to come back even before I had a family, but and the longer I was in Switzerland, the more, or in Germany as well, the more I kind of liked it there, and I didn't miss home as much. But once we had kids, I knew this was a place we needed to come back to just to raise our kids. I felt like I had a great childhood, and that's what I wanted for my kids as well. So that was the main reason why we ended up moving back.
Very conscious decision then to be here for a good family life.
Yeah, and you know, my parents are here, my brother and sister are here as well, and just to kind of be around them and just, you know, give them I wanted to give my kids the same kind of childhood I had that you can't really get when we live in a big city. So yeah. And so far it's worked out.
And part of the way that's worked out and the opportunity you took was getting into store ownership. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that just kind of came about. We moved back and we weren't quite sure what we wanted to do with our lives here. That opportunity came out. I actually worked at that store in university for a season, and I knew the owner quite well, and he was looking to sell, and we kind of looked at it and just decided to go for it. It's kind of more up my wife's alley. She's got a retail background.
All right.
So it's kind of more her thing. She's kind of the driving force behind it. But I think we do make a pretty good partnership together with it.
Yeah, it's a great shop. As you know, I'm there from time to time. Often it's soccer related. One of the things I saw on your Wikipedia page is that you initially went to University of Victoria, and that was to do some studies in teaching sports.
Yeah, that was that's what I went to school for. Well, I went to school to play some soccer first of all, but I was studying to become a teacher.
Yeah,
That's one thing I looked at when we moved back, if I made sure to continue doing those studies. But it would have had to mean that I had to move away first and be in the city again, and we didn't want to do that. So I feel like that teaching, you know, it kind of transferred over to my coaching. So
yeah.
I'm coaching kids soccer now.
Yeah, you may not have that teaching certificate per se, but I know from having been a referee that you're not only involved in coaching the soccer, but you coach hockey as well.
Yeah, anything my kids kind of play, I'm happy to coach, and it's something I really enjoy doing.
It seems to me that you're doing that to give your kids the opportunity, but really you're doing something for the whole community, because you also run the soccer clinic every summer, and that's a big gift. Tell us, what that's like for you and where that comes from.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to do when I moved back. I think I did it in the first or second year I was here. Just something to give back. I know, soccer's a great sport, and to try to, pass it on to the kids here in the Valley was something I wanted to do. And it's an incredibly stressful week, those camps, for me. It's a lot of work, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll bet. Especially in the heat of the summer, and there's a lot of factors there.
But I really love it, and just to see the smile on the kids' faces, and so many kids have come back every year, and that just shows me that they're having a good time.
And it seems to me, in the years that I've been involved in the Valley Soccer, we've got quite a bit of development going on. There are more development teams, there are more kids playing, and there are more kids playing at a higher level out of town at tournaments.
Our club has been fantastic. I mean, it starts with the board we have, all those volunteers that make the season work. To all, the organizing, the coaches, the officials, we've really got a good program going here. If you look around in other places in the north, there's nothing quite like it. Yeah,
it is really good here. I look forward to hearing from you more about your soccer career as a professional. But before we get to that, tell us about the third song that you've picked.
So the third song is called Bochum. It's by Herbert Grönemeyer. Bochum is a club I played for in Germany, and this song is about that town. And why it's special to me is this was played before every game.
Oh, really?
And yeah. I just can remember, whenever I hear this, I remember standing in the hallway just before we get on the field, and you can hear this being played, and all the fans, like everyone, is singing the song, and you walk onto the field, and it's just goosebumps. So even now, when I hear this song, it brings me back, and I get those goosebumps again, so it's very special.
Tief im Westen, wo die Sonne verstaubt, ist es besser, viel besser als man glaubt. Tief im Westen, tief im Westen. Du bist keine Schönheit vor Arbeit ganz grau. Liebst dich ohne Schminke, bist ne ehrliche Haut, leider total verbaut, aber gerade das macht dich aus. Du hast einen Pulsschlag aus Stahl, man hört ihn laut in der Nacht. Bist einfach zu bescheiden, dein Grubengold hat uns wieder hochgeholt. Du Blume im Revier, Bochum, ich komm aus dir. Königsallee, find keine Moden ist das Himmelbett für Tauben. Und ständig auf Koks. Aus dem Schrebergarten deine Laube macht mit dem Doppelpass jeden Gegner nass. Du und dein Vorfeld. Warum ich komm aus dir? Warum ich hänge dir?
Welcome. I hope I said that right, Daniel. Yeah, very special song to you. Before we get a little bit more into that song and the why and playing in Germany and beyond in Europe, first a shout out to one of our sponsors. And this week we're going to talk about Bugwood Bean. They're right beside you there on Main Street. And Bugwood offers up such a great cup of coffee. But not only that, they've got just a little bit of outdoor space where we can do that slowing down and just enjoy a community a little bit more than maybe in the hustle bustle of the cities and their coffee shops. So thanks, Bugwood Bean, for supporting us and what we do here at CICK Radio. Well, Daniel, that song, you said it still gives you goosebumps, and you were telling me a little bit about how they play that song at the stadium. Share that with all of us.
Yeah, it's just... you know, you come out of the dressing room and you go down a hallway, and our dressing room's a little bit underneath the field, and you're waiting in that hallway with the other team, and the officials are there ready to go out in the field, and you can just hear this being played and all the fans singing it. And you come onto the field, and as you see on TV, you know, the two teams walking out together behind the referees, and the fans are all singing this. It's very special, and I didn't really realize how special it was until I retired, and other people still talk about what it's like to play there. For me, it was kind of just a normal thing, but I know opposing teams, it's always gives them goosebumps as well, and it's a special place to play.
When I think about professional soccer player, right away, a lot of us who are on the outside of that, we think of the glamour, we think of the TV, we think of, oh, it must be so amazing. But it's a career, and it's work, and it must mean hardships as well and sacrifices. How do you look back now on those days?
Mostly really great memories. I know, like you said, I mean, it's up and down. There's a ton of pressure, especially playing in Germany. Yeah, you know, every practice you're fighting to keep your spot in the team. There's a media pressure, to pressure perform all the time. And I remember there's seasons at the end of the season, I wasn't really physically tired from the grueling season. It was just more mentally. And
wow.
Coming
yeah.
back here, being able to regroup and recover from that. So there is a lot that goes into it. And when people ask me, do I miss it? I do miss lots of things.
Yeah.
Those are the type of things I don't really miss, all that pressure that can be overwhelming sometimes. I just have good memories, you know, great teammates, just experiences. Got to see a lot of different places, playing with the national team especially. So it was a time in my life for sure.
Yeah, you played for Canada's national team. I would assume that you're a dual citizen of both Switzerland and Canada, but Canada was the one that you ended up playing for.
Yeah. Growing up, that's kind of what I watched. There wasn't satellite TV. And when Canada played, that was almost the only soccer I can watch. And when I moved to my first club in Switzerland, I remember the coach there, he told me, you know, Canada finally came calling to come play for them. And once you pick a country to play for, you play one game, you can't play for another country.
Once you've made that pick, that's a permanent pick.
Yeah, and I remember my coach in Switzerland, he said, no, don't pick Canada yet. You know, Switzerland will be calling soon. But my heart was always kind of Canadian.
Yeah.
I always wanted to play for them. It would have probably been better for my career to play for Switzerland, but I have no regrets. It was a great time.
And of all the matches that you would have played for Canada, is there one that stands out to you?
There's a bunch, and there's so many stories of going to different countries, but I think the one that is pretty special is in my last cap, my last game for Canada, where we played in Buenos Aires in Argentina against Argentina.
Mm.
I almost didn't go to that game, but they convinced me to just make one last trip, and it was, you know, soccer in South America is just insane.
Oh.
And you know, Messi, the whole, you know, Di Maria, who's still playing now, all those guys, they had a really good team, and it was quite an atmosphere. Diego Maradona was a coach.
Oh wow, some pretty incredible. Big names. Yeah. Well, we're grateful that you chose Canada, and we're grateful for the rules that meant that you had to stick to it. It is a sacrifice, the time that you take, the wear and tear on the body, and opportunities away from family or other work things. So on behalf of many, many Canadian soccer fans, thanks for having played for Canada.
It was it was a dream.
Now, Dan, I'm going to ask, and I don't know if this is going to make you uncomfortable, because when I talk to people about professional soccer, in particular the men's, and whether it's the big World Cup games or we just had the Euro Cup or some of the other games, a lot of fans get so frustrated because they'll see some contact, they'll see what might be a foul, and players go down, and they go down hard and lay there for a while. And it just leads to a lot of frustration of fans who say, oh, come on, does it really have to be that way? And they seem to get up again right away. What's your perspective on that?
It's frustrating for me, too. I mean, you see now there are, you know, the super slow-mo, you know, somebody getting their foot stepped on or their shins cleated. That does hurt, and you go down, and it takes some time to recover for that. But, you know, the light contact and then rolling around the ground, that's...
There's a lot of drama.
Yeah, there's some, I know I teach my kids here, my teams, you know, we just came back from a tournament and the other team's really physical and we don't go down and we don't get the call. And, you know, if there's a big push on you, sometimes mm-hmm. you just have to fall down so you can get that call because it is a foul and it won't get called unless you go down. That's a big thing in soccer too. You know, you have to kind of sell the foul. But that rolling around and taking forever to get up for something that was just a little push, that's very frustrating. I think it's something that they can definitely get out of the game. Yeah.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm one of the soccer referees here in town. So I'm sure that I might be a source of frustration for others, for coaches, for players. And so it's good for me personally to hear that perspective. And having been... played at such a high and intense level, what advice would you give to a younger person that is aspiring towards a future in professional athletics? What are the things maybe that they would do well to know now?
I think the biggest thing is just believing in yourself. I mean, I was constantly asked, like, how did I go from Smithers to play, you know, and professionally in Europe and the Canadian national team? I mean, when I was growing up, we played few months of the year and that was it. So I tell kids now, anything is possible. You just, if you have that passion and that drive and that work ethic and really that belief that you can do something, man, it's you know, sky's the limit. And I think that's the biggest thing, just believe in yourself.
All right, that's great advice for anybody of any age really to take with them as they aspire into the things that they are most passionate about. We're headed up now to the fourth song. Tell us about that one.
It's called Love Has Won. It's by Citizen Way.
And why that song?
I like the message, and I just like the song, and it's something I listen to quite often.
This is a song for the hurting. I hope that it helps you to heal. This is a song when the worst of the worst is all that you can feel. And this is a song for the lonely. If you've lost someone you can't live without. A song for the souls that are searching in hearts that are broken down. Sing with me. Sing with me now. Hallelujah, love has won.
Jesus, though the battle rages on. Sometimes it feels like it's hopeless. It's a war just to hang by a thread. Sometimes on this side of heaven, oh, it just doesn't make sense. And that's why he gave us this family, with a promise that nothing can break. That one day we'll all be together, and the devil can't take that away. Oh, so don't be afraid. He's already conquered the grave.
Has won. Citizen Way, a Christian contemporary band out of Illinois in the United States. Thanks for sharing that one too with us, Daniel. Tell us, you're a business person, you're a family man, you're passionate about soccer, but what do you do for a good time? How do you breathe? How do you let go?
That's a tough question, because I don't know, the way I see it is my life here is just, it's all a good time. I got my family around here. I've got great friends, you know, great kids, great wife. We do so much as a family, with my immediate family, with my extended family. It all kind of revolves around them.
Yeah. So what you do for a good time is simply the life that you have here. You're really blessed to be able to enjoy all the things that you're engaged in and what you do.
You know, I thank God every day. I know how blessed I am.
And as your kids grow older, what goes through your mind with respect to that?
Oh, time goes by too fast. I just try to enjoy every moment, every stage of their life. I was just telling you before, I think once they leave the house, it's going to be, I'll probably have a midlife crisis.
I'll have to keep a good eye on you when the kids are all graduated out.
I know how close-knit my parents and my brothers and sisters are with me. And I want to, that for my family, my kids and my wife, that we are always really close-knit and connected. I know they're like I did, they're going to move away, try to find their way, but I want to be connected. Yeah.
Savoring it while you can. Outdoor life, is that something that you and your family get into as well?
Yeah, a little bit. Do some camping here and there.
Well, this is good news for me as the host of the show, because at some point I'm going to be sending you away to that cabin. And so it sounds like it might not be too much of a hardship for you, in part because you get to take some of this music along. Tell us now about your fifth selection.
fifth selection is Jesus I Believe by Big Daddy Weave.
All right, and why that one?
And again, kind of like the last one, I just like the message and what the song's about. And yeah, it's another one I really enjoy listening to.
I wanna walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even possible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come and let your will be done here. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief, God. Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I Believe by Big Daddy Weave. No place is perfect, no world. There's a lot of things in this world that should or could be different. So what are you passionate about? What maybe would you like to see changed in this world?
Yeah, there's a few things I'm passionate about. Obviously, I'm passionate about soccer. You know, it's been a big part of my life. passionate about passing that on to kids here in the Valley. I think if I was living anywhere else, I'd probably be coaching somewhere professionally, like some of my friends have done. But living here, it's passing that on to the kids. Yeah, things I'd like to change. You know, we've kind of talked about there's just so much stuff going on in this world. A lot of it's out of our hands. But if there's anything we can try to change, all the problems we have, you know, worldwide here in our own community, clean that up and be at peace here. These last two songs here, you know, if I've often thought, you know, if everybody just kind of tried a little bit to live like Jesus' example, we wouldn't have some of these problems or any of these problems. So, yeah.
I noticed when you sent me your list of songs, these two stood out. It sounds like your faith in Jesus is a big part of not only your grounding, but what drives you to be the way you are and to do what you do.
Totally. It's kind of, I feel like it's a center of me, you know, it's my heart. That's where, grounding is what you said is a good word, I think. I know, you know, playing professional soccer, there's a lot of stuff that's not very, you know, Christian-like, that you see, and it's not always easy to live in that world, but, just that grounding faith I had, that focus on what's truly, truly important. I'm so thankful that God always showed me, whenever I asked for it, he always showed me the way to find that path that keeps me on the right way, you know, and just having that relationship, always knowing I can reach out and have him guide me in every phase of my life. And it's got me to where I am now, very, you know, content. Like you said, when we talked about what do I do for a good time, it's my life, and I credit him for getting me here. And knowing how blessed I am, I know there's a big responsibility with that as well. And I try to live, you know, I don't try to force my faith or my views on other people, but I try to be a good example, especially the kids I coach. That it's not always about soccer, it's about life in general too. And if I can just be a good example, and yeah, maybe some people can maybe see that light shining through me, which is, I think, a big part of what Jesus asked us to do.
I appreciate your vulnerability. It's not always easy to talk about the things that maybe we hold in the deepest places of ourselves, especially in a world of greater and greater polarization. It sounds like you went through a bit of that in your soccer career, where you had to just be careful, be wise and savvy as you would share and simply live out who you are. But I'm sure that translates itself too into the leadership that you show in the community as a coach and as a business leader as well.
I mean, you learn from life experiences and you know, everybody slips up, everybody makes mistakes, right? It's how you kind of learn from those mistakes, how to become a better person. And, you know, not judging other people for their mistakes or what they do. You know, my focus is trying to just be the best person that I can be with. And that I need Jesus to help me to do that. And just reading from the Bible every day, you know, reading his message, what he taught. I find myself, you know, reading the same passages throughout the years, but I find something new, and it might apply to a situation that I'm dealing with right now in my life, and it just kind of happens to jump out at me. So it's definitely a source of strength, and it's a part of who I am. And yeah, I know I still have a long way to go, and I all I can do is try to follow that path and be that example to others.
Let's go now to your sixth song. Which one is that?
It's called Lightning Crashes. By a group called Live.
They're out of Pennsylvania, and why that one?
It's a song that I remember listening to when I was growing up. It's kind of a sad song. I don't really know completely what it's about, but I kind of like the pace of it, and that's why I picked that one.
All right, this is Lightning Crashes by Live.
Cries. loosen to fall to the floor. The angel opens her eyes. The confusion sets in.
Crashes by Live out of Pennsylvania. What a song. The band dedicated that song to a high school friend named Barbara Lewis. She had been killed by a drunk driver in 1993, and so the lyrics reflect the grief, the loss, the tragedy of such situations. And thank you, Dan, for sharing that, your second last song. There's a few questions I have for you before I send you away to your isolated cabin. And one of those questions is, what would you miss if you had to move away again from this valley? What would you find yourself really missing?
Well, I hope I wouldn't have to move without my family, first of all. But I think, one of the things I'd miss the most is the mountains. You know, we have a very imposing Hudson Bay Mountain right there, right in front of our town.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it was like to live in places, like I've lived in places where that's definitely missing. And, I forgot how important, you know, the mountains are.
Particular mountain range here that you're going to want to be looking at for this season of isolation?
It would have to be the Hudson Bay Mountain.
All right.
I'm fortunate to live a place where I have that in our view, and it would have to be that one.
All right, that's a common pick. The Hudson Bay Mountain will be your view. And on this rudimentary device with your seven songs, you also get to take a download with you. So what would you like, a movie, a show, or a book?
I love reading, but I can't read a download. I need a physical book.
You like the paper. Like the ink.
I would need to take a book with me, yeah.
Well, you're kind of breaking my rules. But tell you what, I'll let you bring a book along as long as it can't communicate with anyone else. What book would that be?
I don't know. I think any book by John Grisham, for whatever reason. His books seem to be page-turners for me, so any book by John Grisham.
All right, so it will be the complete works of John Grisham in one volume, pen and ink for you for your isolated cabin. What's your last song that you'd like to share with us today?
My last song is Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
And why that one?
It's a very vacation-y, upbeat, fun song.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from the bodies in the sand. Tropical drink melting in your hand. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a steel drum band down in Kokomo.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby.
Go down the coast,
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you to Bermuda.
Well, that was Kokomo by the Beach Boys. Well, Daniel, before I send you away, you also get to pick a luxury item to have with you at your isolated cabin. What do I make sure is there, is going to be there with you?
Okay. I don't know if this is considered a luxury item. And I hate that I'm saying this because I feel it's very important to be disconnected sometimes, but if there's some kind of Wi-Fi.
Oh man, that completely breaks the rules. I already stretched them a little bit for my guest last time, letting her have an app to listen to the news. So no, there's no Wi-Fi there.
Okay.
So
what about an iPad?
Yeah, an iPad. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get somebody that I know to disable any kind of connectivity to that iPad, but you can take that iPad with you. Sure, there'll be some games on there, and who knows what else you might be able to sneak to take with you to your isolated cabin. Well, Daniel, this has been a joy. Thank you so much for being with us here on Canadian Cabin Fever Playlists. Canadian Cabin Fever Playlist is produced by me, Kenneth Vanderhorst, with the help of the good folks here at CICK Radio. The theme song is Summer Side of Life by legendary Canadian singer-songwriter Gordon Lightfoot. Thanks for being with us, and don't forget to enjoy the beautiful scenery and the interesting people you see all around you here in our Bulkley Valley.